Ms. Orsted, please, Ms. Orsted, it's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah. We're going to go to this familiar text. Very familiar verse. Isaiah chapter 53. Verses 1 to 12, the entire chapter of Isaiah 53. I will read this part with your eyes. I will read the entire chapter. The Bible says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, once again for this morning. Bless this reading of your word, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will take control of our service. Bless me also, Lord, cover me with the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow that the Lord Jesus Christ will be seen in my life, and also, Lord, your people, that their hearts will be ready, and that the Holy Spirit will take control of all our things this morning. Bless the Lord and be magnified in our midst. Forgive us of all our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The whole chapter is talking about the messianic prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I will focus on these three verses at the beginning. The three verses at the beginning here in our text. Our text this morning is on Isaiah's prophecy concerning the life and the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our text this morning on Isaiah's prophecy begins with these two questions. And I can see a little bit of, reluctance of the prophet Isaiah, because he knows the heart of the people. So he puts forward this question, a question that with regards to the hearts of the people, that this report, this gospel that we are preaching to the people is not easily and readily, admissible by the people. The people will question, the people will resist from receiving this word. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now this is prophet Isaiah. And prophet Isaiah, I believe, he was very much aware spiritual indifference of the people. He knows what is it out there. He knows the heart of the people. He knows that if you preach the gospel, the people, when he knocks on the door, the people will shut their door. He knows that when he goes so winning, the people will not believe. He knows that the indifference of his people. They will hate the Christians without any reason. They will hate the Christians without any cause. Isaiah knows what it is out there. The people are adamant of their state. They don't care, and they don't care about what God says. They don't care about what the future holds. They don't care whether there is God or not, as long as they enjoy their life and they are not restricted from doing sins once in a while in their life. They are not restricted to, you know, to enjoy sin. It is okay. They are adamant. The people are adamant. They are hard-headed. And the Bible says they are sick-necked people. In fact, even God himself commented about the hardness of the heart of these people. Way back in the time of Moses in the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verse number 9. Exodus 32, verse number 9. This is coming from the mouth of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen these people, and behold, it is a sick-necked people. God knows it. Moses knows it. Isaiah knows it. He knows what's there in the communities, in the houses, in the villages, in the streets and highways. He knows the kind of hearts right there. Even here in Oakland, you go out on the road and all the houses are all around. They know the hardness of the heart of the people. They do not care about Christ. They do not care about God. They do not care about the church. The people are hardened by saying, Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse number 13. The Bible says, Furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a sick-necked people. Isaiah loved the Lord. God loves the people. There's a problem there. Because God loves the people. God wants to save the people. Isaiah not really loved the people, but he loved the Lord. Therefore, he allows himself to be used by God. He allows himself. So despite the spiritual condition of the people, he was willing to go. He was willing to be used by the Almighty. But notice what he said when he opened himself in Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 8. He opened himself for God's use. It's not really about the people, it's about God who wants to reach out to the people. And Isaiah said it in verse number 8 of the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Is that what you want, Lord? Is that what you want? I know the people there. I know that they don't love you, they don't like you, they don't have anything about you. I know that. But Lord, is that what you want? Now, hear about it. Send me. And he said, go. So Isaiah was accepted. God said, go. And tell these people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of these people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. And verse number 11 is a very, very interesting word of Isaiah. He said in verse number 11, Then said I, Lord, how long? He was asking God, what's going to happen for his retirement? He has not started yet. And he is now thinking of retirement. Because why he is thinking like that? Because the hardness of the people. Isaiah would just go there and comply with the Lord's command to preach the gospel. But I know in his heart, the people are hard. That is
why he said to the Lord,
yes, Lord. Okay, so wait, it's a good idea. Although I don't seem to see any changes there, but let's give it a go. Let's give it a go. And he said, Lord, how long? How long? How long you want me to go? You see, Isaiah, he wants to know when he is going to retire. Although he has just started the ministry, he's thinking of superannuation. But again, the Lord answered this. And the Lord, very straightforward, he said, verse number 11, then said I, Lord, how long? And the Lord said, and he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. This is like God saying to us, Mount Zion Bible Baptist Church. It's like God speaking to us and said, believers in Mount Zion, keep on going what you are doing. Keep on going and keep on going until the city of Oakland will be desolate with people. When there will be no people in this land. When people will fly to other countries, maybe. No, God forbid that there will be volcanic eruption and all of us will drive to the airport and there's no plane. But God said here, and the Lord, and he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. What God is saying is that do not stop preaching the gospel, do not stop the ministry until there are people. Once you see people, there is a ministry, because ministry is people. We are not selective of who will come to our church and who will be members of our church. All of us, you know, are here only by the grace of God. So let us give this, you know, an opportunity also for the rest of the people to come. Although we know that not all people will come. But Christian, God is saying to us, if you are a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, we only are to stop when people flee from this land. When people will, you know, leave from this place. When there's no one in the houses. When there's no one in the street. As long as there are people in the street, we have jobs to do. As long as people, you know, stay in their homes, we need to continue. But the reality is, who has believed our report? That is the question of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 1. Who has believed our report? Who will believe, Lord? Who will believe? Who will believe? Because God says that in the Bible. Who will believe that? You go to the knock on the door and share the gospel. God wants you to believe in Jesus Christ. Who will believe that? The Bible didn't care. Whatever is said in the Bible, people do not care. Who will believe? And who will believe in spite of the circumstances? Now, who will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Who will believe in the Messiah? Brothers and sisters, you see here that the Messiah is not really easy to believe because of the circumstances that surrounding his arrival to this world. The surrounding of the arrival of the Messiah, he was raised in a very poor environment. The Messiah was raised in a poor family. No political clout, no political power. There's no army. It's so different. That is why we will believe. Who will believe the Savior? Now, why people would reject the coming Savior? And that is the title of our message this morning. The rejection of the Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is rejected. In Isaiah, again, chapter 53, verse number 1 and verse number 2. It says there that who will believe our report, and who is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. As a tender plant. He shall grow up before him.
coming Christ. This is the prophecy of the Savior that is coming to this world. And what a description it is. What a description of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, the miracle of the incarnation. The miracle that he, you know, when he entered upon this world, the entrance of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world as a baby. You can look at that in Luke chapter 2. How lowly it is, a baby. You know, babies are helpless. There's no protection, only they are dependent upon the mother and the father. If these two individuals, if not one of them will take care of the baby, this baby will die. The baby could not survive. The baby is dependent upon the care and protection from their parents. The Lord Jesus Christ placed in the hands of two individuals, and perhaps maybe just Mary there, growing up in a family. You can also find that in chapter 2 of the book of Luke, verse number 40 and upward. I'll tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, why the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a tender heart? Why? Because he was once, you know, a baby, and it was tender. The tenderness will always be a part of his life. The Lord Jesus Christ will always be kind. The Lord Jesus Christ was showing tenderness towards children. And did you realize that he was once like that? The Lord Jesus was very kind to children. In fact, when the Lord Jesus Christ scheduled to preach, you know, in the community there, and while he was speaking, some noisy children running around, and some noisy children, you know, mingled with the adult, and the disciples, they were angry. They were angry at the children, and they shut the children away. Then the Lord Jesus rebuked his disciples. And he said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." So he welcomed the children to come to him. He welcomed the children to listen to his word. He welcomed the children. He's so kind. He was very kind to children. I tell you, he always finds time for the little children. Not just for little children, anyone. The Lord Jesus, he always took the time to help the helpless. If you are helpless this morning, I will tell you, God's heart is on you. God's affection is upon you. If you are a person in need, you have burden in your life, you have burden in your heart, you have heaviness in your heart, the Lord is, you know, thinking about you. The Lord went to those people who are outcasts. The lepers, no one cares. No one wants to be friends with lepers. He went out to them and healed them. While the rest of the community stays here in safety from contamination of the lepers, and the lepers were shut out of the city, they're taken out of the city, and the people here that were not lepers were placed in the city, the Lord Jesus Christ went to them. Because no one cared about them. But the Lord Jesus Christ cared for them. He received the broken-hearted people. He received the sad. Even the sinful. You know, a prostitute there that he also healed. The Lord Jesus Christ is very close to those people in need. I wonder if you're broken this morning. Because if you are, my friend, I will tell you, if you are sad, the Lord Jesus Christ is on your side. And what a comfort it is in our heart that we have the Lord thinking about us in our need. That is why when you pray and you are in need and you pray, heaven is open for you. The help from heaven is available for everyone who has a broken heart. You see, the tenderness of the Lord Jesus Christ, he flowed tears from his eyes. The Lord Jesus Christ wept when people are weeping. He was so tender.
I will tell you, that is the description of the prophet.
That was the description of the prophet 670 years before he was born.
Prophet Isaiah was speaking about the tender plan. That was the Lord Jesus Christ.
And he said that before even Christ was born.
In Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 1. If you check the timeline, this is 670 years before the birth of Jesus Christ.
He knows who's this coming, Messiah.
He is like a tender plant.
Notice again in verse number 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant.
He was tender.
He was soft-hearted.
He was kind, especially to those who have broken spirit. A tender plant.
Secondly, you can find in our verse, in chapter 53, verse number 2.
Verse number 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground.
The root out of a dry ground.
He's like a tender plant. And now we can see also, he is like a tender plant that is sprouting in the desert.
There's no rain.
There's no, that sun is scorching hot.
And the Lord Jesus Christ was like growing out of that environment.
And it is impossible. It is impossible to grow in that kind of environment.
That is why the Lord Jesus Christ was a miracle.
His life was a miracle.
In fact, King Herod wanted him dead.
While he was still in the tender age,
less than 2 years old,
now this King Herod, ordered his death.
When the wise men followed the stars from the east,
and the star led them to where the Lord Jesus Christ is.
But apparently it disappeared when they reached Jerusalem.
So therefore, they were asking, where is the child born?
The king that is born here.
And no one knows. And everyone asks, everyone.
No one knows.
And these people reached to the palace and even asked the king, where is he that is born king of the Jews?
And these men, the wise men, we're not asking ordinary people.
These men were asking, where is he that is born king of the Jews, asking the king.
Then, the heart of Herod, wow, this is now a competition.
That young boy will be the king to replace me.
And now King Herod ordered his death.
That is why, how can Jesus Christ escape from the hand of the king?
But the Lord God of heaven appeared through the angel, appeared unto Joseph to secure the child, take the child and flee to Egypt.
Then come back later when this king will die.
And that's what he did.
They fled. And then what happened there?
King Herod ordered the slaughtering, the killing of all young children from 2 years old and below.
2 years old and below,
there was a great slaughter of children because the king wanted Jesus Christ dead.
You see, it was, in fact, the root out of a dry ground.
How can a tender plant survive in the desert?
How?
That is exactly what happened there.
It was like a root out of a dry ground
in a circumstance like that. In the time where Christ was born,
there was a sense of impossibility for any person, for any child to survive in that kind of environment.
In other words, there is no way that the nation of Israel could produce a savior of their own.
There is no way, because the world will resist against that.
The systems of the world will resist against that.
The kings of the world will resist against that.
They don't want a savior. They don't want a Christ to arise. They don't want any person that will save the Jews. They don't want a person that will be king of the Jews. And not just the natural enemies of God, like the governments and the environment and everything, even the people of God went against God. Why, Pastor? It says there in the book of Matthew chapter 23. In the book of Matthew chapter 23, the Bible says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem," this is Jesus Christ speaking. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered the children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." I will tell you, majority of the people in Israel do not want to die. When King Herod was troubled, the Bible says, he was troubled upon the arrival of these wise men and seeking of this Messiah that was born King of the Jews. And when Herod heard of that news and talked to the wise men privately, he was troubled. And the Bible says, and all Israel was troubled with him. In other words, the people of Israel, the people of God, are reluctant of any change in the government. They're reluctant of God intervening now. They don't like change. They're happy they didn't hear it, we don't know. Because they're troubled about who's this coming, leader of Israel. These people, they don't like to be led by the Lord. They don't want God in their life. They always resist the hand of God. That's what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 23. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 23. Verse number 22, start with. It says, "How long the simple ones will love simplicity, and the scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have known and you refuse. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of mine reprove." That's the environment where the Lord Jesus Christ is born. That's the environment of the society that is going to be in. The people are so indifferent about God. That is why the Bible says he's like a desert plant, and he's like a root out of a dry ground. There is no moist. There is no water of hope. There is no moist that, will enable that tender plant to grow. Majority of the people of that time refused the thing of God. And I will tell you this morning, the majority of the people also in this place and all over the place, they are also refusing God. They refuse the thing of God. Time and time again, God dealt with them. Time and time again, God delivered them to the enemies. God delivered them because of the rejection of the things of God. In those times, when they rejected God, they became subjects of the Roman Empire. And they had no country of their own. They had no leaders out of their own. They had become outcasts among the nations, and people wanted to kill them. What's placed in the hearts of the people? The zeal to hate Israel. And even until today, millions, if not billions, billions upon billions of people hate Israel. Some people, they hate Israel for no reason at all. They do not know why they hate Israel. I remember my wife was telling me when she was little, going to a public school, and there was in that public school other children, older students, that go into their rooms, and during the break, they ask the teacher if they can have like 15 to 30 minutes in their break while the children are eating their food. These older children or older students will go into the room and share the gospel. They spoke well and they knew well, but Jinky said she has hatred for those people. But those people are good people. It's just innate. It's just natural that they hate. I believe many of the people that hate Israel, it's just innate in them. Even though they do not know Israel, even though they do not know the people of God, they just hate them. And that is also what Jesus Christ said. They hated me without a cause. Without reason, the people of God are hated by the world. And Jesus Christ has warned us, if they hated you, remember this, that they hated me first before they hated you. If you are of the world, they would love their own. But because you are not of the world will hate you. And that is true even until today. And because these people of God, they shut God out of their life, therefore they were delivered unto the nations around them, to the people that hated them. And again, knowing the circumstances, knowing the environment, knowing the condition of the hearts of the people, not just the unbelievers, but even the condition of the hearts of the believers, they resist God. And that is where the Lord Jesus Christ arrived. Who fought against him so badly? Not the unbelievers, but the scribes and Pharisees who believed God in the Bible. Right now, I believe, if we stand for the Bible and we stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, other Christians will hate us. If we go out there to the houses and people, to the streets, and share them the gospel, some people will be angry at us. And, you know, if you know them, who are they? They are Christians. I was working in the house of autistic children. Autistic people, not children because they are old, but they're mild. They manage their own well. I was there to help them. And this one guy asked me, Adrian, what do you think of Jesus Christ? And then I shared the gospel. And my boss warned me. So if you bring that Christianity again to this house, you will lose your job. I'll tell you, my boss was also a Christian. She loved her church. But she warned me that I will lose my job. Then later on, it was open because everyone knows that I shared the gospel there in the open. So later on, I did it in the hide in the room. And then this one guy looked for me, and then he found me in the room, and I was sharing the gospel to my co-worker. And then that guy reported to my boss again. And she's very angry. She was very angry at me to stop me from doing that. But the people asked me, they asked me about the Lord. I will not blame her, because that is the system. We know already, even the Bible tells us already, that people will hate the Lord, even Christians will hate the Lord, if you do the things of God. He came to this world, and the world received him now. That's what the Bible says. But the Lord, he goes to the outcast, he goes to the people, to share the gospel and to save them. But the people will not receive him. When the Lord Jesus came, he was born in a poor environment. His parents were poor. Mary and Joseph were poor. And he came to Nazareth. And then, because he is a Nazarene, the people who know the Bible, they struggle with this. Because in the Bible, you can see that there's no prophet in Nazareth. But now, here comes this Messiah. Here comes this prophet from Nazareth. All the people do not know that he is a prophet. He is a savior. But because he's from Nazareth, outright rejection. Because no prophet, the Bible says there's no prophet in Nazareth, and he's from Nazareth, so therefore he's not a prophet, he's not a Messiah. In John chapter 1, verse number 46, notice this. Nothing, you know, is good expected of Nazareth. And this is Nathaniel speaking. He said, and Nathaniel said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Try and listen to him and see for yourselves whether this is not the Messiah. Because they know that there's nothing good in Nazareth. And in John chapter 7, verse number 50, Nicodemus, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ secretly, he went to the Lord Jesus Christ by night, listened to him and accepted his teaching. Now, confronted with other believers, I mean other Sadducees or members of the Sanhedrin, he's a leader of the Jews, so these people also before him were leaders. So Nicodemus said unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them, and in verse number 51, that our Lord judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth. You know why he says this? That in our law, we do not judge someone before hearing him. We have to hear first and then make judgment. But these people, they made judgment. Now these people, they are members of Sanhedrin, they are like members of parliament. They are like the people who make laws. They have their special group that will make laws, and they call it Sanhedrin. And Nicodemus is one of them. And again, the people, the members of that Sanhedrin, outright they made judgment. That's nothing. You know, Jesus is a hoax. It's not true. He's not true prophet of God. Why? Why they say that? Because Jesus was a Nazarene. If he comes from Nazareth, it's out. Because no prophet that will come out from that place. No prophet. Now here, notice here in verse number 51, that our Lord judge any man before he hear him and know what he doeth. They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. They know it. They know from the scripture. But little did they know that the Lord Jesus Christ was not born in Nazareth. Little did they know that the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. But the parents of the Lord Jesus, Mary and Joseph, was from Nazareth, from Galilee. The only reason why the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem, because Caesar wanted the people to pay taxes. When he ordered all the under the realm of Caesar, everyone should go to their place of birth to pay taxes. And that time of the order, it was the time where Mary was pregnant and about to give birth. But because there was an order, so everyone should go to their place of birth. But and now Joseph, being a descendant of David, is from Bethlehem. So they travel and they arrive at night. So it's not December because it's cold to travel. So the birth of Jesus Christ is not December 25. Because it's winter there. They cannot travel that day. It must be somewhere around April or May. Now, they travel. On that time that they arrive there, there's no room. There's no, everything is full. The hotels are full. There's no room for them in the inn. So that means there's no room. So they stay there outside all night. They stayed in the barn. And the Lord Jesus Christ was born right there in the barn. And he was wrapped in a manger on swaddling clothes. You see, with that, now after the birth, when Jesus Christ was born, after paying all those taxes and everything, they went back to Nazareth. And Jesus Christ was raised in Nazareth, being called Nazarene. But he was born in Bethlehem. Why? The Bible told them that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. This is the verse, this is the Bible, this is the book that the people, the Sanhedrin, and all the adults in Israel, they know this verse, that the Messiah should be born in Bethlehem. The Bible says in verse number 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, but raised in Nazareth, but he was born in Nazareth. If Jesus was not born in Bethlehem, he would not be the Messiah, because it was already predicted in the Bible that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. That was the confusion there. And because he was raised in Nazareth, outright rejection. If he stayed in Bethlehem, everyone knows, oh, this is the one. But he was not there. No one knows. Only few people know that he was born there and raised in Nazareth. You see, still the Lord Jesus Christ came to Nazareth as the promised Savior. He was the promised Savior. Now we know that he indeed is the Savior of the world. The tender plan. A root out of the dry ground. And finally here, you can see in verse number 2, Isaiah 53, verse number 2, the uncomely appearance of the Lord. I will tell you, my friend, the Bible tells us here that he's not handsome person. He's not good looking, not just like what's depicted in Hollywood. You can see the depiction of Jesus Christ in, you know, posters, and he was a bike riding fellow with wearing long hair and was Harley Davidson. No. The Lord Jesus Christ was depicted as a smiling Jesus and on jeans and holding a billiard stick. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible explains. What can you see in his face? What can you see in his stature? In Isaiah 53, verse number 2. Isaiah 53, verse number 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He had no form, nor comeliness. He's not handsome looking. He's not handsome. No splendid surroundings in the Lord Jesus Christ environment. No ring of home or splendor. No, they want to see a royal parade upon the arrival of the Messiah, the King of the Jews. They want that. The Jews were expecting a king, but lo and behold, a lowly servant came. They did not expect that time. They expected like that of Herod, Suvalti, or Caesar, or they expected that the quality of Alexander the Great. That kind of quality they're looking for, not a servant, a lowly person. But that's what happened. The Bible says there's no beauty that we should desire him. Nothing showy about the Lord Jesus. Nothing there you can see. Today, we still know nothing about his physical appearance. Because for sure, that photos that you can see of the Lord Jesus is not the exact face. Because there was no picture in those times. And to understand this verse, we have to look before and after this verse in Isaiah 52 and 53. You can see from Isaiah 52, verse number 14. Verse number 14, it says, as many were as stood in at thee. His visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. When the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross of Calvary, I will tell you, my friend, he was scourged beforehand. He was scourged with a, you know, crocodile tail. It is a rod that has 9 leather straps, and at the end of these leather straps are broken bones or broken glass, and that's for the end of that strap. And the soldiers would just strike it, and then that strap will wrap around the body of the victim, which in that moment the Lord Jesus Christ And the mastery of the soldiers right there is just to pull that rod. And that strap that had broken bones and broken metals will bite the skin deep into the flesh, and when it is pulled, it will just destroy the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That after the scourging, the body of Jesus Christ is now so marred. The word marred is disfigured. You cannot, he's not human being. If you look at him at the cross, he's not human being to look at. So destroyed. That is what the Bible says 670 years before the birth of that Christ that would die on the cross someday. It was already spoken by Isaiah in chapter 52, verse number 14. And as many were astonished that his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. In Isaiah 53, jump forward, verse number 3, he says, he is despised and rejected of men. People, you know, smote him and threw stones and spat on him. He was rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Nothing beautiful about the cross. Nothing beautiful about the face of Jesus. You can see at the cross the nails. You can see the thorns, the blood, the agony, the suffering. No beauty there you can find at the cross. Why? Because that was the time that your sins and mine were carried on his own body on the cross to die for our sins. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins will be included in that name. If you do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, my friend, I'm going to tell you, you die and you pay the penalty of your own sin. But why should you die and pay the penalty of your sins when there is someone paying for you? All you need to do is give it to him so that your sins will be transported into his body and his righteousness will be given unto your own. And then there is a switch. You as a sinner will become righteous in the sight of God because your sins are now upon the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, my friend, I wonder if you can look at the crucified Christ there at Calvary and believe. It's so hard to believe. That is why Isaiah said, who has believed or reward? Lord, who will believe in this? If I go out on the street and preach the gospel, who will believe? Who among these people will believe? And because, Lord, you love these people, I will go. But I will not know if they will believe. They will hear indeed and, you know, perceive not. They will see with their eyes, but they do not see anything. Because if they do, they will be converted in their hearts. And they will believe. I believe, my friend, it's time for us to reconsider our thoughts about the Lord Jesus. What do you think of the Lord Jesus? When the Bible said that he was crucified on the cross for your sins and mine, would you believe that? I hope that you do. Has the Lord Jesus Christ revealed his plan of redemption to you? Because while he went to the cross, that is the only way that your sins will be forgiven. That is why he is called the Savior. Because he can save. No one will call him a Savior if he cannot save. But the people now harden their hearts. And they rejected the Savior. That is why we call this the rejection of the Savior.
It's so amazing how people are reminded of the goodness of God when Jesus Christ died on the cross. Will you accept Christ in your life today? I was telling my friend, you need to accept Christ because there's no other way. To go to heaven, all of us are sinners. No one here in this room, and here in this city, here in this country, here in this world, today and in the past, no one is sinless. All of us have sinned, and therefore all of us will go to die and go to heaven. But because Jesus Christ provided a way for us to escape the penalty of our sin, He died on the cross to shed His blood, that if you believe in Him, you will receive salvation of your soul. John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In John chapter 3, verse number 36, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." John chapter 3, verse number 18, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." He's still alive, but he's already judged to go to hell. All the people in this world is already judged to go to hell. But those people that will believe in Jesus Christ will be saved. You see, the wrath of God, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ spoke this in John chapter 14, verse number 6. John 14, verse number 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, no one can get to heaven except by Him. But by me. Remember, all of us are sinners, but we need Christ so that we will be saved. This power has been read. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the reminder of your word. Lord, please save the lost. Do not allow, Lord, that people will die without the Savior, because we are already judged sinners. We are already condemned to go to hell. And Lord, if they die without Jesus Christ, they will die and go to hell. There's no salvation at the grave. But salvation is now, while we are still alive. Because we have a chance to come to Christ, to invite Him to our hearts, as the Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation is now, while we can call upon the Lord Jesus. Salvation is now, while we can invite Him to come into our lives. When we die, it's too late. Lord, please save the lost. And help us, Lord, to live our lives so that people may see Christ in us. And they also come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Bless your people, O God, that we will live righteously, we will live godly in this life so that people may see Christ in us. Lord, it is a hard, difficult Christian life that we are living in. But Lord, please, by your grace, allow us, O God, to live a life that can change the heart of men. To turn the people from darkness unto light, from the power of Satan unto the power of God, from hell to heaven. Use us, O God, in this work of the ministry, and bless all of us. Thank you, Lord, for using us this time. Thank you for the faithful men and women in our church. And I pray that they will continue to live a life that is holy before you. So that in whatever way, Lord, in any case, people will come to know Christ through them. Bless all of us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Let's all stand and sing the final.
Jesus Christ, everybody say.
The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, our shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock. Shelter in the time of storm, a shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears are on, no foes are fright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land. Shelter in the time of storm. A raging storms may round us be, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land.
Brother Franz, you pray after this meeting. We have a birthday.